Laura Hillman. I'm currently a PhD student at Michigan State University, and I will be presenting the work I did for my master's thesis, and I want to talk about relative water content as a sensitive proxy for pre-enthesis pistil growth in tar cherry trees. Now, in the context of global warming, it becomes increasingly important to be aware of temperature-based limitations to fruit production. There is data that suggests a decrease in ice coverage in the Great Lakes area in Michigan, which can be correlated to an advanced bloom time in the Michigan orchards. So knowing that survival and yield depends on growth timing, and survival of the plant, of course, it becomes very important to anticipate future production changes and research needs. Now, there are frost protection measures that are used right now, for example, convection fans, and also probably in combination with those, the use of critical temperature charts that connect lethal temperatures to the phenological state of the tree. Now, a very important part of butthole cold hardiness is the endodormancy, which is basically the inhibition of growth in winter. There are some trees, for example, the tart cherry trees, that have the ability to deep supercool, and this way they can protect their reproductive organs by keeping the water within the cells from nucleating. This deep supercooling is related to the vascular development in prunus trees and also to the ability to vary the water content within the buds. Now, when endodormancy is satisfied, trees start to accumulate heat units to be able to break ecodormancy. And during that time, buds begin to lose their tolerance to cold temperatures. That means they're deacclimating, which is influenced by a myriad of factors. Some of those are genetic characteristics, the stage of development, environmental conditions, and of course the cultural practices. So really, just to sum this up a little bit, deacclimation renders flowers and young fruit vulnerable to frost damage, so survival depends on the timing of growth and on the temperature changes. What I want to show here is a critical temperature chart that was created by Dennis and Howell in 1974. I want to point out especially that it's the early stages, dormancy to green tip, that are pretty hard to distinguish, especially when you're in the field. But those are the stages at the same time that lose most of the hardiness in the short amount of time. So between dormancy and green tip, trees can lose up to 15 degrees Celsius of hardiness. The objectives of my studies were to identify phenological and physiological markers to be able to facilitate frost protective strategies. We wanted to determine factors which provide the earliest detection of dormancy break, and we wanted to determine objective measures that are better correlated to lethal temperatures than the phenological stage of the bud. So for the experiment, we used fluorobuds of Montmorency tart cherry trees that were grown in near Traverse City in Michigan. We collected whole extension shoots and two-year-old spurs randomly from 320 trees. They were shipped overnight on ice and then immediately processed in the lab upon arrival. Ovaries and buds were imaged using a stereo zoom microscope and then analyzed using image analysis software. We calculated ovary volume from diameter measurements based on the formula of a sphere. You can see that in the middle picture, that we tried to fit the sphere to the ovary as best as we could. And then we calculated bud volume based on the formula of an ellipsoid. We also took measurements of fresh and dry weight of about 125 buds per sampling, and calculated the relative water content within those measures. For the lethal temperature data, we placed buds in a programmable freezer for about 8 hours at 2 degrees Celsius prior to reducing those temperatures to minus 23 degrees Celsius at a rate of 1.5 C per hour. For both the differential thermal analysis measurements and the visual observation of oxidative browning. Now, I don't have time to go into details of the DTA measurements. What I can say now is that DTA measurements can be used for the first swell of a bud, because that's when they accumulate water and then they lose the ability to supercool, which is when we cannot detect low temperature exotherms anymore. Low temperature data were fit to a logistic function using a probability analysis to generate the lethal temperatures of 10, 50, and 90% of the population. We also calculated growing degree days using the Emine-Baskerville method with a base temperature of 4 degrees Celsius. When we plot the growing degree days against date, we can see that in the 2 years of measurements that we had, 2017 and 2018, actually 2018 was behind by about 20 days in developmental time. Now, 2 years of measurements is not a lot, but we were lucky enough to have two very different years, so we could be able to relate the developmental measurements that we had and see how well they were reflected by the GDD in those two different years. For the rest of the presentation, I'm going to be showing the data for 2017 with those blue circles, and 2018 will be represented with those yellow crosses, just so you know. That brings me to my results. So for the phenology staging, we scored the stages between 0 and 100, 0 being the dormant bud, and 100 is already fruit set. I want to show here the histogram of the 2017 data, and I just want to point out that most of the buds, or the majority of the buds, was still in the dormant phase in within the first 50 growing degree days. You can see that here in the second graph as well, where we have the average phenology stages plotted for both years, and you can see that there is no visible change prior to 50 growing degree days. Now, when a grower goes out into the field to see what type of, what kind of developmental stage his trees are in, he will most likely look for two different things. He will first look for an increase in bud volume, and he will probably also look for a change of color on the buds, an increase of green color on the buds. Now, when we plot those, the data that we collected, we can see that neither of them show a visible change prior to 50 growing degree days. Compared to this, log transformed ovary volume shows a steady increase right with the accumulation of growing degree days. And also looking at the LT50 data, we can see that by 50 growing degree days, there's already a loss of about 15 degrees Celsius of hardiness. So we can see pretty clearly that while all these changes happen, there is no visible change on the field or in the bud. Now, since data or plant growth of organs should be represented in log transform data, we can use the same volume data and plot them log transformed, and we can see that there is a steady increase in bud volume. However, it's not as sensitive as the ovary volume, and also the grower will not be able to detect those changes early on. So now, the things that contribute to bud volume increase are carbohydrates, which are mainly carbohydrates, which are represented by dry matter, and also water, which can be represented by fresh weight. And we can see in the second graph that the fresh weight increases early on as the buds deharden in the spring, and we can also see that the dry matter lags behind for a little bit. We can solve those data for relative water content and then see that relative water content increases in a more sensitive way by looking at the slope of the curve, especially within the first 50 growing degree days. Now, we were also interested in the relationships between the measurements that we took, so we decided to regress relative water content against ovary volume to see how well they can be correlated with each other. And we found out that while ovary growth is an indicator for the completion of ecodormancy, the changes of relative water content and ovary growth align pretty well and allowed us to have an R-squared of 0.9 for both 2017 and 2018. And we also regressed LT50 with relative water content, and we got a pretty tight correlation there also with R-squared values of 0.9 for both years as well. So we can now say that relative water content is a strong predictor of LT50 for both years. So in conclusion, as buds develop, start to develop in the spring, they lose hardiness, we know that. We know that early stages of development and increase in bud volume are very hard to detect in the orchard, and that ovary growth is the simplest indicator for dormancy break. We found out that ovary growth and relative water content increase in synchrony and are strongly correlated, and that both measures respond predictably with increasing growing degree days. So just as the takeaway, relative water content can be used as a proxy for pre-enthesis ovary growth and a change in LT50, and that building a predictive model based on weather data, for example growing degree days, could facilitate frost protection in the orchard. I'd like to thank Nikki Rothwell and her team at the research station for collecting all the data, and also Dr. Michael Blanke for getting me in touch with Michigan State University, and of course the Michigan Cherry Committee for funding this work. Thank you, and I'll take questions. We calculated those on this Emine-Baskerville method, and you set the clock basically by setting a base temperature. That is for tar cherry trees, I've read that it's 4 degrees Celsius. So if you plug that in, you have the daily... It depends on the year. I think in 2017, the first accumulation was somewhere around late March, just date-wise, if that's what you're wanting to find out. The calculations started January 1st. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yes.
So right now, are there ways, just thinking maybe in the kitchen here, that a grower could go out and just pick up a truck and pick a couple buds and no relative water content?
Right. Right now, relative water content, you could only find that out when you weigh the buds fresh, dry them out, and then weigh them again. So I would say the only way that we could do that, so a grower can do that on the field, is just to build a model where we can say at a relative water content of, 50%, and a growing degree day of, maybe 30 or something, the lethal temperature for that time is around that time. But that's just a theory that we're not really set right now. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I cannot answer that 100%. I would expect it to be lower then, but also in Michigan, I don't think that they have a lot of problems with drought. But I guess that's something that we might find out. Yeah.
It's a pretty solid measure. see in high wind, drying conditions, the potential for the bud scrum to have differences, but we haven't seen it in sweet cherry yet.
Okay, any other questions? No? Well, thank you for listening.